Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 8. We will also be going to Hebrews chapter 11, but we will begin in Genesis chapter 8. Following the ordeal of the ark experience, I'm sure that Noah and his family were glad to have their feet on solid ground. It is recorded for us that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We find that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And then in verse 6 it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man, and it grieved him at his heart." Isn't that a terrible thought, that you can grieve the heart of God? Amen. That because of our actions and our lifestyle, we can even make him wish that you had never been born. If you would, let's stand together. Chapter 8, the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 20. Noah and his family have come out of the ark. And it says in verse 20, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise. Lord, we thank you that you provided a way of salvation for Noah and his family. Lord, we thank you for the plan of salvation that you have for us today. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now, two things. It's good to know that Noah had lived a life that was godly in an ungodly situation, which tells us that we can today live a godly life no matter what the lifestyle is around about us. We know that the Lord had promised a coming one that would bruise the head of Satan, and that prophecy would be fulfilled in Christ. So he could not destroy all the world. There had to be someone left to continue the human race. May I ask you this as you turn to Genesis chapter 5, in verses 28 through 32. Are you living a life that honors our Lord? Are you serving a life that brings glory to his name? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? And it says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 28, "And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem and Ham and Japheth." What we find here is that Noah had brothers and sisters. which means that for 120 years, as he built the ark and as he preached the fact that there was coming a flood and that they needed to come into the ark, that his brothers and his sisters joined them. True or false? False. If you've been to the ark encounter in Kentucky, it quickly shows you that Noah built an ark for far more than 8 people. That he had built it so that his brothers and sisters could join, that his daughter-in-law's families could join them, but they refused. Which tells us that many will hear the message but will not follow the message. They will not answer the message. If you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We know this to be the Faith Hall, or Hall of Faith, chapter in the Bible. And in verse 7, it says, Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, the Bible tells us, the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. Let us look at 7 things very quickly about Noah. Number one, we first see the ground of Noah's faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. He moved with fear. He saw or was told that something was coming. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, our Lord is about to conclude his Sermon on the Mount. He gives the parable of 2 foundations. And 2 houses that are built. One is built on sand and one is built on a rock. In both cases, the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow, but there were different results. The house built on the sand suffered a great fall. It was built on sand, we could say like money or knowledge or power or prestige or looks, but that will not satisfy. And then there's the one that is built on the rock, the Bible says, and it fell not. Where is your spiritual house built today? Is your spiritual house built on the sand of the world or on the rock of the Lord? Where have you built your spiritual house? And number two, we see next the sphere of Noah's faith, of things not seen as yet. Now, we understand that snow could be coming. I have faith that it will not. But I could be wrong. And it's not the end of the world if I'm wrong. But the fact of the matter is, death comes to all. 1 out of 1 dies. It's a fact of life. All of us are going to pass away. It is at that time what we have done with Christ will matter. Have we accepted him as our personal Savior? Or have we simply heard of the stories at the Christmas season or at the resurrection season or maybe in a vacation Bible school or maybe even in a Sunday school class, but we have never taken it to heart? Noah had never seen rain, let alone a flood. And yet, at the Lord's bidding, he built an ark. It was not a one-day project. I like one-day projects. In fact, I like projects that take 1 trip to Lowe's, and it take about a half hour to get done, and everything worked fine. You know, when you leave Lowe's, the cashier says, have a nice day. And usually I say, if I don't have to come back, it'll be a nice day. But can you imagine 120 years he built this ark? There was no Menards. There was no Home Depot.
There was no Lowe's. There was no Ace Hardware. They had to hew the wood. They had to cut it to size. And I don't know how many people were working on this project. I don't know where Noah got the money to build this, but it was a long time in coming. And he was faithful to the job. Number three, then there is the character of Noah's faith. He moved with fear. Fear is a great motivator. Fear. He feared for the lives of his wife, his sons, and their wives, and he was willing to do something about it. What are you willing to do for the salvation of your children and grandchildren? I have 8 grandchildren. One is a senior at Cedarville College in Ohio. I have one who is starting his second year as a Marine down in Georgia. I have others that are in high school, and then others, two in junior high school. The rest are either in elementary or have not yet begun school. But let me ask you this, is it important for them to know the Lord as their Savior? It is important. And my desire is that all 8 of them will come to know the Lord as Savior. I would ask you to pray for my grandson Luke. We're not sure of his salvation. Now, let me tell you this. If he's in the Marines, he needs to know of his salvation. Because you never know what might happen. But the fact of the matter, I send him texts every week with encouragement concerning the Lord. I want him to know that he is in my thoughts, prayers. I want him to know that I am concerned about him spiritually. You need to be concerned about your kids and your grandkids spiritually. We find number 4, we see the evidence of Noah's faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. This preacher of righteousness backed up his faith with works. He did not expect someone else to do the work. He was willing to get the job done. May I say this? It's important that you bring your kids to church. But during the week, you had better be an example of Christ. It's important that you tell your grandkids of Jesus Christ, but they ought to see it in your life that church and the Lord and the Bible mean something to you. It's important. Number 5, we see the issue of Noah's faith to the saving of his family. I ask you this question. What is the best thing you can do for your family? What is the best thing for the person that is middle class American? For the person who lives in Honduras with a dirt floor and a curtain for their front door? For the person in China or Russia or any country in the world, what is the best thing we can do for our family? The answer we find, not only is it to pray, because we need to pray, but we find in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They need to know the Scriptures. Not only have you brought them to church, and not only have you brought them vacation Bible school, but you have read the Scriptures, and they know that you believe the Scriptures, and you have put the Scriptures in their hands. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up in the knowledge of the Lord. It's your responsibility, fathers, to make sure that you have done this. Let me ask you this. Did Noah attend the First Baptist Church? He didn't attend the First Baptist Church. How come he didn't attend the First Baptist Church? Because there were no churches. Did he? Let me ask you this. Was the book of Romans his favorite book of the Bible? There was no book of Romans. Now, let me say this. Noah knew somebody that knew Adam. That's what happens when you live that long. Okay? I mean, you get to know a lot of people. Yes? Right. But he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a Sunday school. He didn't have a church, but he lived a life that was what? Godly. Well, how did he know about God? Family told him. Okay? Family told him. Have you told your family about Christ? Does your family know of your faith in Jesus Christ? Do they know that you attend a church regularly and that you are faithful? Do they know? Don't expect Pastor Paul to get to your family's house and knock on their door and say, you need to come to church because, you know, there are a lot of families that I'll never get to. So whose job is it? It's your job. You need to tell your son, your daughter. You know, we live in a society with so much. Would you agree with that? So much. The other day I was at the Buick dealership. Don't you love that phrase, the Buick dealership? Why was that at the Buick dealership? There was something wrong with the Buick, right? Okay. And I was in the room, you know, where you pay. Isn't always a great thing. They never just let you come. They always expect something. But I was in there, and there were 8 people in the waiting room. 8 people. 3 were watching television. What were the other 8 doing? They were on their phones, right? Yeah. You know, isn't this amazing piece of equipment you have in your pocket? Don't you find it amazing? I mean, takes pictures, sends pictures. All kinds of information is there. Wow. But let me ask you this. If they have the greatest of cell phones, is that going to get them into heaven?
No.
What if they have the new station wagon, Buick Regal? Red. Big deal. It would be a big deal. I would like that. Yeah. But having that Buick Regal, is that going to get you into heaven? What if you're born in America? Not going to get you into heaven because you live in America. No. Let me go one step further. What if you go to church every Sunday, all the days of your life? Every Sunday. You're there every Sunday. Would that get you into heaven? No. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to know that you know him. And see, I want my responsibility to be fulfilled that I have told you you need to know Christ as your Savior. I don't want you saying to the Lord, well, nobody ever told me. Well, weren't you in church on a month before Christmas? Wow, that's scary. I have all your gifts, you know that? Every one of them. Yeah, I gave you one. I've already put it up in the front yard. Don't you like it? Yeah, the birds are going to like it too. Okay, I hope some metal collector doesn't see it and say, oh, that's good. Oh, it's a pole to put bird feeders on. Yeah, multiple ones. Yeah, thank you. But you know, we need to know Christ as our Savior. And I want you to realize that that is important. But that you also need a life that honors the Lord. See, the evidence of Noah's faith was that he prepared an ark. The issue of Noah's faith was to the saving of his family. The sixth one, we see the witness of Noah's faith by the which he condemned the world. Your life, your lifestyle will bother the lost. If you live a godly life, it will bother the lost. This preacher of righteousness, we can only presume, was mocked. Now you can imagine, he has built this monstrosity. I mean, this is what it is. It's from our sign out front to the back of our parking lot. That's how long it is. So it's not something that's hiding in the woods. I mean, they've cut down all the trees to build this thing. They have spent tons of money putting in the pitch and bringing in the food and preparing for this flood. Noah, it has never rained. What are you talking about? He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was challenged. We need to know our scriptures so we can defend our faith. So that we can defend the fact that our Creator God created us in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That we are not here by chance, but we were created. We need to be able to defend the fact that salvation is of grace. One thing we do know about Noah, he built the ark and he invited people to come. Number seven, we see the reward of Noah's faith. He became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I believe that Noah's faith is second to none in the Word of God. I mean, there are some great people in the Bible, right? Joseph, Daniel, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. We find there are great men and there are great women in the Bible. But I don't think that any has a greater faith than Noah. 120 years he labored. And then he went in the ark. He and his family. And how long were they in the ark before the door was shut? They were in the ark for 7 days before it rained, before God closed the door. Can you imagine? Oh, they've gone in. How long do you think they'll stay in there? Do you think there were people gambling? I'll give you 5 days. Put out the money. Oh, no. They'll be out in a couple of days. All those animals in there? And remember this, there are four guys and there are four women. That's a joke, folks. And then the door shut. You think it was just as hard on Noah and his family when the rain started as it was on the people on the outside? Brothers, sisters, parents, friends, loved ones that were going to die because they did not accept the message. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 14:14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. Eight people went in the ark. And the rest of mankind, millions upon millions of people died. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a spiritual death. Or if you've accepted Christ as their Savior, there was His death. His death for our sins. Romans 5:8-9, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. God provided a way of salvation for those people of Noah's day. And He provided a preacher of righteousness to declare the need. He has provided a way of salvation for this people and a preacher to proclaim it. There's a song, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Aren't you glad that there is that grace? That He has provided a way of salvation? It's amazing grace. Have you accepted that grace? Have you accepted the gift that He has provided? Shall we stand together? 401 is our invitation song, Only Trust Him. Have you trusted Him? Is He your Savior? And if He is your Savior, are you faithful in serving Him? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that You would bless this invitation time. And we ask, Lord, now that Your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.